Blog Talk Radio.
Family with me, it's Womack forever. And when you see me, boy, just think clever. Two moves ahead, this is chess, not checkers. Brothers, they know about me. Brothers, God blessed her. Yeah, did my seven in the pen. Came back to my family, embracing me once again. You thought we lose, bruh, and that's a fact. Everybody with me, yeah, we all strapped. It's all love in the spot. When you get it so fast, when these brothers get to hating, they counting your cash, they pocket watching. But we gon' stay on top of them quick. They know about me, and I can give a damn if they blood a crip. I be moving and grooving just to stay so proper. When these brothers try to see me, they be screaming Big Papa. He look like Suge, but he didn't know Womack. Damn, they know me cause I'm Bobby affiliated, and they know that.
Shakespeare in his prime, but I'm hot, I ain't lying. I keep them hooked with these hooks and these lines. Swear I do this every time, every time I gotta do this, huh, does I confess to the crime? And then y'all ask me why, I said I must be out my mind. I speak the truth in every rhyme, huh, can't see the truth, then you blind. Get, check, checkmate, I'm the king, you the pawn. This the game strong, Kobe before they brought in LeBron. My mama raised the sun like the dawn. I don't even need a chain cause I shine with my charm. Player, you can ask your chick if I'm wrong. Getting kicked out the party, I'm the one your chick choosing on. Pretty fly brother with the fade and a fresh scarf. Ego big as King Kong, I'm on my daily roll.
Nyarlathotep, better love. You are listening to the Truth to Power show with Eric and Beverly. And tonight we have the ancestors with us. They're going to join us at the mound table. We have Dr. David Blair and Kalinke. And let's see. Can you hear me? Thanks for joining us tonight, Eric. How are you doing?
Free up, Beverly. Free up, free up. I'm up. Everything up, up, up.
Good, yeah. Good. Excellent. So we got a couple
How
of
you?
Ancestors with us tonight. I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Excellent. All right. All right. Good to hear.
We had two of the ancestors mm-hmm. with us tonight, and that is Dr. Blair, Dr. Delbert Blair and Kalinke. Can you kind of tell the people what Kalinke was into or so for those that's not familiar with Dr. Kalinke? Well, with Kalinke.
Absolutely.
Do you know?
Okay. Yes, yes. The main thing that I got out of Brother Master Kalinke is he was one of the top melanated brothers that was out there experiencing the mushroom family and, you know, many, many different types of mushrooms with many, many different types of cultures of peoples, you know, and oh, many different levels, you know, many different experiences and, oh, man. So he had a bunch of downloads that he shared over the years with people at conferences and lectures and street corner meetings and just, you know, brothers in the street in Detroit. I heard, you know, he just have a conversation with Kalinke. You just can't get out of his head. You know, he just got so much download for you. And they come from the mushroom realm. You know, some of these downloads are personal to people. You know, people get personal downloads, you know, that they've been with ancient knowledge, you know. And so, yeah, we looking forward to getting some of these downloads tonight. I'm always excited to get a download from Kalinke. You never know, you know, how the spirit going to deal with you on this level. But many people have experienced mushrooms of their own or, you know, took LSD or smoked marijuana or, you know, did some kind of, you know, thing that will cause your experience to be altered. You know, many different ways to do that, mm-hmm. different cactuses and different plants. And alcohols and, you know, different methods. So he specialized on the mushroom. That's all I can say, Bev. The mushroom, which many of us mm-hmm. have no knowledge or no clue of. Even if somebody was to tell you, you still couldn't get the experience if you have never tried it. Or mm-hmm. the toad mm-hmm. medicine. You know, I hear Dan Winter and other metaphysical scientists talk about, and also Kalinke and Renoko Rashidi talk about, how a lot of our ancient symbols that we study in the occult are basically based on the mushroom, you know, the shape, the stem mm-hmm. and the cap, the masculine and the feminine aspect, circle within a circle, you know, tetragrammaton, all these different mm-hmm. ways of explaining the occult science is dealing with the mushroom and other medicinal plants too, but mainly the mushroom, so. That's pretty much what he deals with. He's a master and an expert at it. And been in it for many years
also,
and took many different types of mushrooms. Uh-huh, go ahead. And a martial
yeah,
artist, that's
also,
right.
That's what I was getting ready to say. He was a master martial artist, well known in that field too. So
right, which he also yeah. he also talked about how the mushroom enhance that ability that he had in that martial arts realm. You know, the mushroom deals, mm-hmm. there's ancient mysteries about the mushroom in the martial art realm too. So, yes, absolutely. Thank you for reminding me of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I've been micro dosing for a couple of days now. So, you know, I'm it's not a good time for me to be talking. I'm here to listen, but thank you so much, babe. I appreciate this opportunity, you know, to listen to these two elders. Give us a download and an upload.
Okay. Right, right. And my experience with Kalente, you know, I would meet him at a lot of the lectures when Bobby and them would come into town. And so I had made an appointment with him to take a mushroom, and then I chickened out at the last minute, and I didn't show up. So. And when he saw me again, if looks could kill you, boy, I'd be dead. Because he gave me that look like, no, you didn't. At that time, I said, I was chicken. So, who knows what I would have got from the, you know, from the atmosphere. But we are at the Mound Table, and the number here is 323-642-1586. Push number one if you like to sit at the table with us. And before we open up the video here, let me open this line up because this video is a little lengthy. Let me see. 706-202.
Better Love and Hotep. Greetings, Sister Beth.
Better Love. Better Love.
Brother Eric. And, you know,
yes,
combo, combo and the mushroom. But I've got a friend now. She's leaving tomorrow or Saturday, going back down to Peru. She studies with the indigenous people there in the forest, and she's going to learn how to extract and work with the frog medicine. But she's also went down and she's trained with the ayahuasca. We did ceremony here, not this weekend, last weekend. The past weekend we did the sweat lodge, and then we did the 2 days of ayah medicine here at my space. And it was, you know, to introduce people to it. It's a thing to where these are the medicines that our ancestors have given us, the plant medicine, in order to rewire the neural net, to rewire us for this shift that we're in and moving into it, because they're moving and shifting just like Facebook then went into Meta and going into the virtual. We're using the medicine to rewire. And so what we're doing is using the natural, and they're using the artificial. And so this is the challenge that people are in, because the mushrooms, ayah, peyote, the Native American church, because I've got a friend in North Carolina that we call the meetings, and this is where we use the peyote, the purge, to get out the impurities. So we have all our traditions that are coming back from our plant relatives and the ceremonies in which our teachings from our elders and ancestors were left for us. And this information for this next level of our evolution because of this reset. And we're coming into this time where December 21st, 2021, is really the same thing in numerology as December 21st, 2012, when the great galactic year started again. It's the first. And so we're realizing that we're in this great reset, but also we're in that fifth world that our indigenous Hopi people talk about. And so these are the tools that we're going to be needing. Delbert Blair with the science that he and others have received, and the brother with the mushroom medicine. Here I've got some friends that I've met here where I live at. They go off into the forest here, and she knows every mushroom that she sees growing and know which ones to pick, how to harvest them, how to cure them, and how to use the medicines that we just go in the forest and get. So these are the ways in which we have to begin to look at it. And thing that we have to look at too is that we can't look at it as recreation. These are medicines that we are given to help us to rebuild our activation for the next level with the 6 to 12 DNA strands that are being activated. So it's very mindful that we don't look at it as recreation. We look at it as tools and medicine, because this is what it is. It's plant medicine that helps us to build ourselves. So I was just checking in, because when he said the mushrooms, I said, oh, okay, here, I got to say something on this one.
Yeah,
you know, because this is the spiritual walk on the red road that I've done, and with the indigenous people here, and then because both of these are the one Americas, it's just Middle America and South America. We're all connected, and so it's learning to use the medicines from the different regions in order to activate the people of the region.
Yeah. And see, back then, I didn't know what I know now. And, you know, I was looking at it in a whole different way, even though, you know, I knew that, you know, he was using it. But I looked at it still, you know, like a recreational.
Well,
that's why I chicken out. But I'm more.
But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you were right, because I just watched Seven Bomar, and he was talking about Facebook and the Meta and that part. But what we were mm-hmm. pointed out is how they use this with Pavlov's, you know, Pavlov was a psychiatrist
mm-hmm.
that turned around and
right.
was supposed to be the father of brainwashing. And what they
mm-hmm.
used when they were using these methods of torture and changing people's, putting people under control, they start using these medicines. This is what LSD was used, marijuana was used, opioids was used, the different things that they were experimenting in order to get mind control or to get people under their control by using addiction. And so what we're seeing now is that they're coming up with a new way of addiction, because this is what technology is doing. It's activating the endorphins in the brain and the pineal area, where the medicine is to rewire and reconnect you and purge you of all of those impurities that you have been inundated with. So it's learning how to use the tools to counter what is coming, and being able to create the people that have the ability to overstand and pick up the higher frequency, not of the AI, but the DI, the divine intelligence that is coming down. This is what we're needing to activate the people to be able to perceive these new clairaudios and telekinesis and all of these things in which we're being reactivated in our bodies and in our spirit. This is what the medicine is here to do and help us to do. So it's getting the teachings and going there into the land where the people use it and have been using it for thousands of years, to get that teachings from those that have been passed down, to bring back, to be able to show us how to work with the medicines.
Yes, yes. Now, Kwame, also, I want to tell the people that you will be joining us here. What is that? I think it's
the
19th. Wasn't it? It's the Friday before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so I just want y'all to know Kwame will be here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
go
and
ahead,
I was
Kwame.
Speaking to Tutmos. I was talking to Tutmos about that, because it's a book that
mm-hmm.
I just got before 1491, and it has a lot of, I'll share that when I get on the show, because
okay.
it's really synchronicity and talking about the unthankfulness that they gave us. The unthankful was the day that we call Thanksgiving, but really it was the unthankfulness that they did to us, that they thanked themselves for doing what they did.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Well,
we're going to get into the show, and I'll keep listening. Better love.
Okay, thank you. Better love. Thank you, Kwame. Okay, we're going to listen to Kalente first, and he's going to talk about the mushrooms.
Honored to be here. Thank you very much for coming out. We're going to get right into this because it's a very short time to cover a lot of things. It's a four-hour presentation. I kind of cut it down to 30 minutes. So accessing comedic sub-quantum intelligence through hallucinogens, basically mushrooms. I'm a mushroom guy. That's my thing. I don't look at mushrooms as a medicine, but as a tool of exploration. Ayahuasca may be a medicine. Salvia, well, no, salvia is not a medicine. Salvia is just crazy. a lot of them may be medicines, but the first and primary utilization of hallucinogenic mushrooms and the psilocybin venue is for the exploration of consciousness. Had a great time this weekend with many of the talks. I think that this it's definitely growing here as far as breaking convention is concerned, and the space in general is growing. More people are getting in. You know, we have recreational cannabis now in Detroit from where I'm from, and we're moving towards decriminalization of all natural psychedelics in the state of Michigan. So we're moving forward, and hopefully the UK will be jumping in real soon and have those things going. So we're going to move real quick. I'm going to talk about 2 minutes about myself and what got me started in this field. And what got me started in this field was, okay. Okay, it was 1957. I was in the drive-in movie with my mother and my father and my brother, and I was sitting in the back seat. My popcorn fell over, and I went down to get my popcorn, and I looked up, and this is what I saw. The Seventh Voyage of Sinbad. This guy is basically what got me into the weird, into wanting to see something more than the regular three-dimensional, five-sense reality in which we are embedded. And that kind of set me on a journey in my life to understand if there's something more. You know, I was drugged to church like everybody else, and as soon as I could get out of there, I got out. But tales of the weird stuff, tales of things that were beyond the physical were always tales. You could never get into it and see anything for real. So it was always a legend. But when I came to a point in my life where I first experienced psychedelics, it gave me access to be able to explore these things in real time, not in some storybook or somebody telling me about what happened thousands of years ago, but something that I could be included in myself in real time. Now, mushrooms, is my thing. Mushrooms, I'm one of the firm believers that mushrooms are extraterrestrial. They are hyperdimensional, extra-dimensional. They come through from different dimensions into interstellar space and have embedded themselves in and on the earth. And when man and woman walking across the earth encountered these as something that they thought would be food, they found that food would give them something more than just a little bit of nutrition, because hunters and gatherers moving along deposited grasslands found that these mushrooms, while they were following the cattle, gave other things than just that nutrition. They gave a mystery that is still a mystery to this day. And they really had a better handle on it than we did, because we're trying to intellectualize it. We're trying to put it into a place where we can understand it. And you can't understand it. There are no experts in this field, not one. The experts haven't been born yet. This is the beginning of this thing, the infancy. People try to malign the 1960s and say, oh, the 1960s, they were doing it wrong. Timothy Leary and the others, they didn't, you know, no. They did what they did in the time that they were in with what they had. And anytime you're birthing a baby, there's going to be a little bit of agitation. There's going to be a little bit of pain. But when that baby comes, you're happy with the baby. And this is the toddler stage of this community that we're in now. You're the pioneers of what we're in as far as psychedelics is concerned. So getting into this, as I said, these things are not of this earth. They're included in the earth as a mnemonic device, a device of memory. Helena Petrova-Blavatsky called it the Akashic Records. We call it the Akashic Records, the DMT compendium of knowledge that is in a blockchain, just like Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a hyperdimensional psychedelic currency. It's a sovereign currency. It's peer-to-peer. You don't have to ask permission. I'm trying to send some money to a person who doesn't have PayPal, who doesn't have Cash App, and I'm trying to find a Western Union in Greenwich, and it ain't happening. But if they had Bitcoin, I could just go on my phone, send $20 worth of Bitcoin, $30 worth of Bitcoin, and it wouldn't be a problem. It's peer-to-peer automatic, and it's on the blockchain. The blockchain is a way of preserving information. The blockchain, your DNA is a blockchain. So the information is still here. Nothing's ever lost. Impacts, climate change. The last impact that we had was called the Younger Dryas. It's about a flower, an Arctic flower that went away. But when we had this 12,800 year ago impact that changed the climate on Earth, that flower came back, the Younger Dryas, Dryas flower came back, and they named that Arctic period of 1,300 years after that flower. Now, we're not going to go into the Younger Dryas, but it changed a lot of things, and it also changed many of the civilizations that were on Earth because it rose the water table 400 meters. So all of the civilizations that were on water or on the shores were flooded out. This is when they say that Atlantis sunk. Now, of course, it wasn't called Atlantis, and I know many of the scientists say whatever, never, or the historians say there never was an Atlantis. But Plato said that there was because he got it from his ancestor Solon, who stayed 12 years in ancient Kemet, which is Egypt. Egypt's still in Africa, for whoever may not know it. They created a Middle East so that Egypt wouldn't be in Africa anymore. They just said it's the Middle East. So what happened was he stayed 12 years in Egypt studying, and he said, where's the evidence of the last climactic thing that happened that changed the world? And they said, well, 9,000 years prior to that period, which was, 11,600 years before that. Now, this is held in the record halls of what's called the Edfu building text. The Temple of Edfu in Kemet is a new temple. It's a Ptolemaic temple. It's only about 250 BCE, before the Common Era. But it was built upon the site of temples that were there previously for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. You know, Egypt is redating, or Kemet is redating things like the Rahamakis, which is the Sphinx, the pyramids, and things like this. And we'll flesh this out at the full lecture. We're just getting into it. So moving past that whole climactic thing, it had a devastating effect on America. America had four different types of elephants. It had the dire wolf. So if you're familiar with Game of Thrones and you remember the wolves that they had in Game of Thrones, those were the side of the wolves. They had giant beavers, American camels and horses, things like that. All that was killed off in one weekend. Now, what does this have to do with psychedelics? Many of the records that we had were destroyed about previous civilizations that were utilizing psychedelics, but like I said, it's in the blockchain. Now, moving up into space, Dr. Frank Drake put together equations on how many, according to the number of different planets and things there are in the Milky Way, how many civilizations, extraterrestrial civilizations, should be in the Milky Way. And there are actually billions and billions of civilizations that should be there. But then we have the Fermi paradox. Enrico Fermi said that, okay, if all of these galaxies and solar systems are supposed to have these different civilizations in it, why don't we see them? Why aren't flying saucers flying through this room and aliens sitting in the audience also? The reason being is that we're now trying to talk about the quantum fields and quantum particles and particle entanglement and things like this. That miniaturization of civilizations is that these civilizations are everywhere. They're on dust particles. They're on piles of ant shit in the Gobi Desert. They're on your eyelids. Because the miniaturization of civilizations, the mental ways that we access these are through being able to utilize the tryptamine hallucinogens, DMT, mushrooms, ayahuasca, and these type of things. But the things with the others is that DMT is too quick, which Andrew is working on, He's trying to extend the trip. Ayahuasca is kind of hard to get enough in you. Mushrooms at high dose are the quintessential hallucinogen of this earth. There's nothing like it at high dose. It will also do what all of the other hallucinogens will do at certain doses. It will take you to the realm of the ancestors. It will shrink you down, and like Alice when she bit the cookie or the mushroom or whatever, one side make you small, the other side make you big. It'll take you into the infraparticle realms, the realms of the very, very small, so that you can in real time be able to experience these things. I've been going to the different talks. One of the talks yesterday talked about quantum mechanics and the mathematics of the quarks and gluons and these subatomic particles. But these are places that you go to if you get the right dose. High-dose mushrooms is a DMT trip for 2.5 hours. You just have to be able to stand the space. It's not 15 minutes. You smoke DMT, you go into DMT land. By the time something walks by or you see two or three things, you're coming out of the trip. And then by the time a few more minutes come by, it's dissolving. In the next few minutes, you're back saying, what happened? You know, I knew some guys, they were talking about, yeah, we were smoking DMT and looking at Beavis and Butthead. I'm saying, if you're smoking DMT and you break through, how are you looking at Beavis and Butthead? How are you in the room? How's the TV there? Because when I smoke DMT and I hold it to the last minute, everything that's there, that's in the physical, so-called real reality, dissolves away. It's no longer there. You're someplace else, but it's not long enough. With high-dose DMT at 30 grams, 40 grams, 50 grams, dry grams, not, as they say about me on the internet, where Kalinda E., he takes 5 grams every other day, and then says at the end that he's taking 40 grams. No, you take and eat 40 grams in one setting at one time. And it's like my brother said, it's bitter. I don't like the taste of it. But you chew and you chew and you chew. You can't get it the way you want it. It's not nice. It's not fun. 40 grams of mushrooms is not fun. You're not going to be in there, oh, well, I had some butterflies and bubbles and, you know, the fairies came through and hugged me and I had these divine beings come through and kiss my third eye and it just burst into revelry. No. There are times that happens, but then there are times that are dark, that are malevolent, that are serious. And you have to be able to stand these places. And it's not so much standing it is going back again after you've been there. That's the thing. It ain't going, because anybody can go. It's when it calls you back and you say, damn, you know, I got, you know, I done said to myself, you know, okay, it's Thursday. I'm going to go on a mushroom trip. I'm going to take 40 grams Saturday night. I got 5 grams of mushrooms in the freezer. You know, I've set up my launch pad with my, super transdimensional blanket and my, you know, my power hat. And, you know, everything's ready. And then Saturday night comes, I walk to the refrigerator like, not tonight. We're going to do it next Saturday. We're going to do it next Saturday. So it's not easy. It's not easy. It's not something that you cherish wanting to do, but you cherish what you get from it. Now, I'm not interested in microdosing. Personally, I'm not interested in post-traumatic stress disease. I'm interested in generally in those things because I'm part of the space and I'm a person who believes in helping people, and people need these things to be able to do it. But I'm interested in putting the pedal to the metal, pushing the envelope, going as the beginning of Star Trek in all its versions says, to go where no one, well, they used to say, well, go where no man goes before, but now they say where no one has gone before, including, you know, and now we have to go into, well, I guess that'll cover everybody because, you know, it's like 70 different genders, so, you know, 10 minutes, okay, 70 different genders, so where no one has gone before. So that covers everybody, whatever your persuasion is, whatever you, you know, want to do or things like that. Downscaling provides a potential answer to the famous Fermi paradox. If intelligent life is so commonplace in the universe, where are they? If intelligent creatures or machines can continue to scale down in their technologies, the answer to the Fermi question would become, they're all around us. Whole civilizations living inside of elementary particles too small for us to detect. We're utilizing the technology we have is not refined enough to be able to detect these things, and where they show themselves, we are not intelligent enough to be able to understand that they're right in front of us. The mushroom is an organic technology. It is a created algorithm. It is a memory source that was given to us by us for us to remember who we are so that we can then become something more, because it's about becoming something more. We're driving ourselves out of the human. I know we love the earth and organics and things like that, and people are talking about going to Mars, you know. Elon Musk is talking about going to Mars because he thinks I'm going to hit the planet, not that we can't clean the planet up, because we have the technology to be able to do that. We can make this place a paradise almost overnight. But the thing is that you have what's called a torrid meteor stream, which is coming out of the constellation of Taurus. And it is part of a 100-mile meteor that bumped into another one and broke into small parts, and it sits there and gives us the meteor shower that we have twice a year, in June and in October. Just 2 weeks ago, they had a meteor or asteroid or comet or whatever it was that was so close to the Earth that NASA didn't pick up. These things are out here all the time. It only take one. They destroyed the one that destroyed the dinosaurs wasn't that big. The one in 1901, Tunguska in Russia, that flattened 800 million trees was was twice the size of that table, and it exploded in the air. If it had hit the ground, it'd have been a big mess. They're talking about going someplace else because not because you can't clean this place up, but because there are extraterrestrial meteors, comets, asteroids lurking in that belt, and many of them come close. And they've hit millions of times. If it wasn't for the atmosphere and grass and dirt and hitting at one time, the Earth actually looks like the moon with all those potholes. So that's what going to Mars is about. But I'm of the feeling that with psychedelics, with mushrooms at high dose. The answers are there for us to be able to take ourselves out of that equation, to become what is inside of our imagination. The information is still there. I'm a believer that that information, much of it was destroyed, but it's still in the blockchain, it's still in the record halls, it's still in the libraries. But then we have information here that we are not taking advantage of because we don't know what's there. Technologies that were ancient, that are still in our purview of things that are going on. And I, oh boy, about five minutes. This goes into the different lengths. We're talking about below Planck length, which is 10 to the negative 35. That's where mathematics supposedly breaks down. They can't see any further. They say this is the smallest elementary particle. How are you going to be the smallest elementary particle? Elementary particles keep going on and on and on and on and on forever, infinitely. String theory said, what is 11 dimensions? There are gajillions of dimensions. They don't stop. But when you can't see what's on the next horizon or around the corner, you say, that's it. It's all over. Let's move through this quickly. Marvel, which was my second rendition in the 1960s going into Marvel, Marvel's doing research. They're researching you. They're researching you. They're researching you. They're researching you to put into their movies. This is Ant-Man going subatomic. Now, when you're taking your mushrooms, if you're not going, that's you. If you're not doing this kind of stuff, you're not taking enough mushrooms. And this isn't the trip. This is on the way to the trip. I will show you the whole thing, but we got to move. These are some of the different African mushrooms. We're dealing with the fang and the duna mushroom, which is one of the African mushrooms that was utilized, but it was also utilized with Iboga in ancient times. We'll have to talk about that. Moving real quick. These are some of the fang in their traditional clothing. Now, National Geographic did Africa a disservice when they, for 100 years, went and took pictures of this and said, these are the Africans. This is what the Africans do. This is how they walk around every day. You know, you go into the well, and you put on this to go to the well. You're cooking dinner, and you put on this to cook dinner. You know, and they say, these are the Africans. They're wild people. They'll eat you. But then I come across this picture, and I said, these are the wild people of England. They put all this stuff on. You see the, you know, they go around London eating people. You know, that's why they got red on their face. Moving right along from that, this is Ansar, or Wasir, or Osiris. He is the lord of the underworld, the lord of the perfect black, the master of the triple thick darkness. Now, when they say underworld, you think they're talking about, like in Christianity, some hell that's under the ground. No, they're talking about the underworld as the subatomic realms of existence. They say the triple thick darkness because the darkness that he resides in is orders of magnitude beyond regular darkness. And why is that? Because it's smaller than the photon. When Krishna and Arjuna were in the battlefield and they were talking, and Krishna was revealing to him his sovereign yoga, and he gave him the soma in the portion of the Mahabharata that was called the Bhagavad Gita. He said, what you are, it is so small, no fire can burn you, because it's smaller than the molecules that create friction, that create heat. He said, no water can drown you. Why is that? Because the water molecules, you're smaller than that. No fire can burn you, no water can drown you, no air can make you dry, because air molecules, you're orders of magnitude into the quantum beyond this, which is the physical. This is the Edfu temple where the records of the disaster are held. that we talked about earlier, but we've got to move quickly. This is Medunetcha. Call it hieroglyphs. But Medunetcha is technology. It's a place. It's not just a reed. It's a place that you go. It's a place that you exist, that you commune with these creatures that chose to clothe themselves in reality in this manner, with the heads of jackals, with the humanoid body, with the heads of falcons, with the humanoid body. This is the technology. It's utilized and paired with high-dose mushroom because the chris or the mummy, they're opening the mummy's mouth. The mummy is dead. They're opening the mummy's mouth to put the mushroom caps, which are the food of the gods, into his mouth so that he can have animation inside of this scene. Don't take my word for it. Get you 30 grams of mushrooms and get this picture and set it there and look at it and gaze at it, because what's going to happen is at certain doses, these characters and personages in this particular freeze become animate. You know, at higher doses, you go into that realm, because that's what the ancient pre-dynastic priesthood did. They went and they built a civilization on what they saw. They went into the hyperdimensional, extra-dimensional, ultra-dimensional realms and brought back a civilization of which they saw, of which they experienced. Is that it? Okay, 1 minute. Okay, this is Wasir, the Lord of the Perfect Black. Now, his head was knocked out. Disregard the crook and the flail. This is a mushroom. It's part of the Kemetic secret of alchemy, side by side. Real quick, let me go to the last. I'm going to just go through this. That's Phalaris grass. It had its own monoamine oxidase inhibitor into it, and they fed it to the apis bulls, which they cultivated mushrooms, not just let them grow on cowpies, but in Egypt they were cultivating. That's the dung beetle. The baby dung beetles, when they hatch, they eat mushrooms because the mushroom spores are in the dung beetle's dung ball. 30 seconds, that's the Keppra. Moving along, this is information, spore print. I want to get to the last slide. That is a subatomic particle at CERN, acacia. We don't have time to go into acacia, but this is the Nesit Biti, which is the what they miscall Pharaoh. He's suckling at an acacia tree. In modern times, the Maasai, they have different bags of acacia. I'm talking with a young Maasai brother now who went through the whole Maasai initiation. He talks about the acacia soups that they drink. They have a drink that they drink for fighting lions. You drink this bag, you suckle at this bag, and you go fight a lion. You suckle at this bag, and you go into individual combat. You go to suckle at this bag, you can run 80 miles, so on and so forth. Going into the Syrian rue, or what they call African rue, or what they call the ruta. These are the Syrian rue seeds. The magic carpets of Persia, the red dye inside of the carpet is Syrian rue. They would eat the Syrian rue and other things, the homa, different things, sit on the carpet and go into different levels of knowledge and information. Each one of these would be a different solar system, a different world, that they sit on the carpet and fly on the carpet because they're ingesting the hallucinogens on the carpet, which is a hallucinogen. Mandalas. I know the sand paintings, you know, from Tibet. The Navajo do it and all that kind of stuff, but this is not a two-dimensional thing. This is three-dimensionalized because it's a place. This is a mandala. A mandala is a place of study. Not just sit there and meditate in front of the mandala, but you ingest along with your hallucinogen and you go into the mandala because that's where the ancestors of this particular system reside and teach you the intricacies of what that particular system is. And I can't, it's a kind of longer clip. 30 seconds? Okay. maybe I could stretch this 30 seconds out a couple of hundred times. Buddhist tapestries, animation. Moving on. Puzzle box, Cenobite puzzle box. That's a place. You don't think Pinhead and them live in there? They didn't just make that up. Try 20 grams. Buy you a puzzle box from the toy store. Sit in front of it and see if Pinhead and them don't come out. I'm talking about things I know, that I do, that I see, that is available to you because you have it. It's if you want to, well, I took 3.5 grams and had a nice time. All right. Arjuna and Krishna, what the actual chakra is, the chakra is the weapon of Krishna. I just want to get to this last, it's coming up. This is his universal form of which he showed Krishna during the Bhagavad Gita. You know, see, you all should be seeing this kind of stuff. Let's get past them. One second, let me get to the last part. That's Dr. Gates. Supersymmetry. He had to teach his advisors at MIT what supersymmetry was so that they could give him his PhD in supersymmetry because he's the only guy that knew what it was. Okay, we're gonna leave with Dr. Strange. Now, real quick, Frank Bruner and Steve Englehart in the 1970s reorganized Dr. Strange from a B character in Marvel, which was he shared a comic book with the Thing and all those other folks. They reimagined him because they were on the East Village in New York dropping acid and eating mushrooms, and from their trips, that's where you get the new Doctor Strange from. That's where you get this Doctor Strange. Magic. Sorcery. Diving deep. Taking the plunge. Holding power. That's what it's about. Okay, I've run out of time. You've seen Dr. Strange. If not, deal with it. Thank you very much.
All righty, that was Kalente. And for those that are interested in mushrooms, you can go and look at that on YouTube and his other videos, and you can see the pictures of the mushrooms that he was talking about, and you could get your information so you'll be familiar with what you're doing here if you are looking to go on those kind of trips. Eric, have you ever had any mushrooms?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I have.
So,
not in heavy doses like he talking about. I stay on this side of the wall, and I'm good, because I'll tell you what, I had a real terrible experience. I hit a cigarette when I was a young man from my cousin. I didn't know that he had dipped it in some formaldehyde, some sherm. I didn't know, and so I hit it, and then it took me a while to come down off of that. So after that, I was real cautious about doing anything that take my control. You know, I didn't have no control over that experience. It was wild. So I never wanted to go on a trip like that again. So I'm kind of cautious with doing the heavy dose, but small doses, man, it's oh man, yeah. You know, it do turn certain facets of yourself on that been dormant. You know, like colors and certain sounds that you could hear and certain little creatures that you could see with your eyes that you wouldn't able to see before. You know, your eyes might be, you might think your eyes are bad, but man, a small doses one day, man, one day you'll just be able to see the most smallest thing. You'll be like, wow, you know what I mean? It might be for somebody else, it might be your sense of smell. You know, it's different for every person, but yeah, definitely. They do adjust your, like Kwame was saying, they adjust your, they're just all your little frequencies and all your little firing elements that you have in your bloodstream and your system going there. You know, everything is fired up and alive. You know, yeah. And the laughter, the laughter that you get from, you know, when everything is turning on. You know, It's phenomenal, man. You just laugh and laugh and laugh. It's cool, you know. It's harmless, you know. It's
okay.
Harmless, yeah.
It's,
I love
you really
it.
You really do go on a trip. And so, you know, and these guys, and these guys are serious. You know, it's not just taking it for recreation. I mean, you know, they really getting information. They go somewhere, like he say, go where no man has ever been before, and you get the information, and you bring the information back with you. Where a lot of people, you know, are afraid that they get there and won't be able to get back. You know, but listen,
right.
You know, these are the experts, you know, that this is what they do. And so this is, you know, that you get back. So for those of you that's interested,
yeah, well,
Kalente, his videos are on YouTube to kind of explain to you about the mushrooms and things like that.
Before I knew about Kalente or anybody saying anything, we was out there exploring on our own already. Nobody taught us anything. We didn't know no better. We used to catch butterflies, which is a very hard thing to do. It's not easy to catch a butterfly, but we didn't know we was killing them by putting our fingerprint on a delicate little pattern. Once you touch them, that's it. You know, his life is done. We didn't know that. But that's the same with getting high or you know, trying mushrooms, acid, all that, man. We were just out there trying, and, you know, many of us didn't make it. Many of us never came back from those, you know, many of the homies are still living.
So some people
still
did.
Limped out. You know, they never came back from those trips, you know.
They never
I don't see
came
why a person
want
to take
wow.
them. Hey, Bev, Bev, man, when they take all your, man, I used to pick up dead bodies. Formaldehyde is something you don't want to play with. Why would a person want to take some formaldehyde, man? It's it's monster preservative.
Yes, that's why they
monster
use it on dead
preserve. Folks. Man, when a person dies,
to
still you can sometimes people outgas sometimes. You know, sometimes you know people have a. You know, some people gas, you know, they have a bowel movement, or they fart, or they urinate, or they, you
right.
know, they'll breathe, or they'll flinch, their arm will flinch, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, anyway, many levels, man, many yeah. levels. But anyway, like I say, man, many people came to this planet to experience many different things, and not everybody here is an actual human being anyway. So there you go. That's
right.
where we at now.
Right.
That's where
right.
Devil Bear take us into
yeah.
that.
Hey, yeah,
that was powerful. Thank you for playing
that.
That's
what I'm going to. Okay, yeah. And let me open up the mound table here, and then we're going to get into some Devil Blair after I open the line up. And he's going to talk
all
about
right. I'm
humans and mankind
I'm gonna go back on mute.
And the different. Okay. All right, Eddie.
Better love, better love, better love.
Better love, Eddie. Have you been on a trip?
Better love, yeah.
A mushroom trip?
Greetings, E. Nah, I never took mushrooms, but I did ayahuasca recently. And my experience was just like what the spirit that will always be. Baba Kalindi, may his spirit live forever. I saw a mandala, and then little black beads surrounded the mandala and expanded it. They were little, like green, red, and yellow dots on these little beads, and it just covered it. And just like what E said, once I guess I was consumed by the medicine. All I could do is hear myself laugh. I don't know where I went, but it was very peaceful. And all I could hear myself say is, hurry up and wait. You know, I was in a room with some people, and after the next day, you know, they was telling me all the, it's interesting, you know, all the things that I was saying,
okay.
misbehaving, all kind of stuff.
Right.
But, Yeah, it's really a powerful reset. You know, it brings you back to you know, it really eliminates a lot of the emotions, a lot of the preconceived notions, and some of your traumas. I'm just saying the things that the monkey brain kind of things, and we don't really acknowledge how many thoughts that we're having that aren't necessarily ours. You know, most people are empathic, and sometimes these are the things that we need to do, because it's very challenging just to sit and be still and be quiet. You know, you think about it, when a child is misbehaving, you know, sometimes before, after that behind whipping, they tell you, now go sit down. You know what I'm saying? So, and with all this foolishness that's going on today, you know, these are the things that's more important. Just like, you know, a lot of the things that a lot of your guests have been speaking to, even Maya Z, and Brother Kwame, you know, get back in touch with nature, because in order to hear nature, in order to spend time with nature, you really do have to be still. You know, well, you really should. I shouldn't say have to, you know, because everything has a message, and those loving, jovial messages in nature is so powerful. But I also wanted to speak to something. I don't remember whose show he was on, but Brother Kalindi was speaking on how whoever you are in this so-called conscious realm, you are the same on the other side. Because, you know, he was a warrior. He is a warrior. Excuse me. I apologize.
Yeah.
Brother Kalindi. He is a warrior. So he said he would be on the other side doing battle with those entities and beings over there. You know, and that was deep, you know, because that's what he did. That's, you know, one of the things that he was really famous for. That brother was doing combatic martial arts. Whooping ass.
Yes.
Yep, globally, you know.
Yes.
Globally.
Yes.
I actually didn't know how old he was.
Well, he was in his 60s. Wasn't he in his
at
60s
least,
or something?
At least, yeah. I think he was in his late 60s. But, yeah, he was an awesome brother. But I just, you know.
I think he was older than that, because I have a relative, well, he's deceased too, but he used to do martial arts. And so he had to be, if he was still living, he would be in his 80s. So Kalindi might have been, and they used to work, you know, fight together. So he could have been up there in his 80s. Or late
70s.
Wow. Yeah, I think about in his late 70s.
Yeah, but he would talk heavily about that. I think a few times he had lectures and stuff that he was doing also, right?
That was one of his lectures. He was over in the UK doing that. Yeah, but see, that's why I say you could go on YouTube and listen to, you know, his lectures. So,
okay, awesome. Yeah, I'll mute there.
You got Delbert Blair.
Yeah, I'll mute there.
I'm going to put some Delbert Blair on.
Ashe.
Okay. Ashe. All right, here goes then another ancestor master.
Places on the earth that have been deemed. There have been races on the earth that have been red. There are races on the earth that have been brown. And there are races on the earth that have been black. Each one of those is a grade of melanin. The only one that does not have melanin would be completely white. And that's when albino, when all the red blood cells are now dissipated, vitiligo is set in or whichever again, it means that they carry very little of the melanin aspect, which means that they're very hard to be spiritual, simply because they don't have the direct connection with the Creator.
Our planet has come under a period of ignorance, dumbness, and lowered vibration, and that time is now to move. It is past. There is no reason for ignorance, dumbness, or lowered vibration if you want, and if you happen to be of the sons of the God, and you don't respond to it, you will soon be dead. Now, isn't that a big threat? I'm not making the threat. I'm interpreting new and future knowledge. As a metaphysician is supposed to, You have to find out whether you can agree with it or not. There is no truth until you decide what truth is, and each person should find that truth out for his or herself. Human, by which if you look in the encyclopedias and dictionary, it says we're all human beings. That's a lie. We are not all human beings. Human is animal man. Hugh was a god Hugh, which was the lower plains, again, under the old teaching of the ancient Sudanese and Nubian people, and later on the so-called Egyptian people, which was a mixed race. We're going to find out just how mixed in a minute. Human did not come from God, or what we call the Creator, but from lords, or which we now call the Lord God and animals. They were a creation by scientists who we now refer to as Lord Gods. And they made human by engrafting and changing the animal life at different times as they found it on this planet and from other planets and dropped them off here. God-man, this is the key and the one that had the key to the Sphinx and the pyramid, were from the sons of gods, or which we now refer to as the angels. And they were a cross between mankind and the sons of gods, or the angels. Understand this. In fundamentalist teachings, angels are those spirits who represent the Most High and who fly around with wings and live whether in Herod or some of the lower heavens and do the biddings of God himself. That is a fundamentalist interpretation. I do not decry a religion. I do not argue religion. I say that is only one interpretation of an angel. The other is those who mastered the angles, those who could bend light rays, those who understood the four pillars of the sacred sign of the swastika, which was not called the swastika, but a whole different name. It mastered those who understood the four rays of consciousness necessary to exist on the fourth dimension, which Earth was supposed to have been into millions of years ago, but got held back by humans. Now, as humans, we are going to begin to die out, and the sons of God must come to the fore so the angels can return. That awakened person is the one that will now go through changes like you have not seen as he attempts to throw off the dross, the animal, and come into his own consciousness. Mankind came from the lords of different planets and was soulless and could not reproduce. I repeat the three. Human, animal man, made from animal species both on this planet and other planets. God man, the sons of God, and also sometimes interpreting with mankind, a made person again by Lord gods on other planets. And mankind again by strictly the lords of other planets in this one. Obviously, you can begin to see what I'm inferring. This has nothing to do with the Creator, the prime causation, the cosmic universal logoi. This has to do with people who evolve up the ladder, and because of their knowledge of genetics, their knowledge of geography, their knowledge of astrology, their knowledge of astrophysics, when they come to a planet, you treat them like God. All of the series that you see now, Babylon 5, Deep Space Nine and all the rest of it, are trying to show you what really may exist in this system and in other systems to let you come into what is now called the planetary brotherhood, to awaken from the idea that you are a lone important species. You are not, but now the Earth is becoming an important place, as we will find out for numbers of reasons over this weekend, as we get deeper even tomorrow than we're going to go tonight. This is to awaken those who are not soulless, but have deep spiritual souls. One of the things that black people have found consistently is that in the face of adversity, they sing. In the face of adversity, they can laugh. In the face of adversity, they come together as a unit. And one thing seems to bother them. They know that they're supposed to worship something, They know that they're supposed to be spiritual entities, but they're not finding the results sometimes strong enough. They have found that in following religions fervently enough, really getting on fire with it, miracles do happen. But down deep, they're not satisfied because they still feel there ought to be a shortcut, and they know that something's there, but it's just not quite right, and daggone it, it frustrates me no end. How many of you have actually felt like that? Don't lie, if you haven't, you haven't. Most of you do. That's why the church is now, the people are going to the strongest word, the best choir, and the best place where they can also make money and meet good mates, and they're falling away from the little churches that just can't make it anymore. Fundamentalism is separating from the advanced spiritual person. Again, I say this, and don't say I came here and talked about the churches and put them down. I'm not. Let each person go to any church they choose. It is their choosing. They will be responsible for their own souls if they have one. I'm saying that there's a difference between a spiritual person and a religious person. A spiritual person does not need a church, for the home and temple of God that they find their souls in is the church, and how they keep it clean and how they keep it out of ignorance and what they do with it shows their manifestation of the God life. For the other, they need a religious fervor and constantly reminded, because they do not have quite the soul that is arisen to the point where they can again manifest the Creator within them. So they constantly have to remind themselves as a herd come together to give themselves the strength to carry on. That is changing. That's why you're going to find the church being attacked like never before, and leaders in false churches falling like never before, and that's why the Falwells and all the rest of it, and you find them like little animals attacking each other, each one pulling each other down, and the congregation suffering from it. Because man must learn he does not have to go to a church, he is the church. The temple of the living God is not just a folklore or a little thing that is said. The skull that you have, when properly understood, is a temple. It is so full of potential power and glandular interest there that the best way that the ancients could show it was to build a pyramid and say that that is the skull of man, and then show him the difference between the Sphinx and the others that walk the life. Why is it you think that when Napoleon and the Grenadiers came out onto the Giza Plateau and they saw the Sphinx looking Negroid in all of its glory, they went crazy and blew the nose off by sending 19 shot rounds into the nose and then coming back and climbing it and pickaxing out the nose, and now they act like they don't know what the Sphinx used to look like. Why they don't, I don't know. They drew pictures of it and they saw what it looked like. It was a Negroid looking person looking outward, eastward. And it showed again that in front of this big pyramid, they put this skull and this animal. Three of the secrets of this pyramid, and there's seven secrets of the pyramid. Three of them is that the head of the man on the Sphinx and the body of the animal simply shows that, if you notice, there's wings on the Sphinx, there's scales on the Sphinx, there was a tail on the Sphinx, there were claws and hooves. It shows that everything that moved, crawled, or flew on earth was subjugated or was dominated by the chief creature of earth, the Son of God, the man's head. But everything on that man's body of the Sphinx needs those other things to survive, until which time its consciousness rises enough and can outgrow them. It can eat fish. It can eat anything that moves and crawls, snails and everything else. It can breathe in air and live very well on that air, if you would. I appreciate that very much. And live on that air, if you would. It can do more things by adapting under different vibrations. It can consume everything on earth and live on it, even to the herbs and the berries, if it goes up that far. I found that as their young people and not so young people search for truth, that they're finally having to be brought into the reality that the truth of the history of this planet may be in the one place they didn't look, into metaphysics. That in those journals that they tell you are worth nothing and are sacrilegious and blasphemous is where your truth lies. That's where they hid it. Why do you think they form secret societies, teach their young, try to find their best psychics,
put them together in think tanks like the RAND Corporation and continue to try and control this planet where the very pineal melanin-carrying people that should awaken go to sleep if there isn't something there. I find out the truth about melatonin, and I will share with you a secret that I normally would not even share until some of you were at least enrolled in my classes, but time is speeding up, and the truth has got to be shared more and more, or we're all going to lose this planet. The original people who took on bodies on this planet had 12 DNA strands entwined together. In each of the cells, there were 12 DNA strands. The people were gods. Some of you, and I heard the brother talk about before I left again, and I know the way he put it out, some of you may have gotten lost, but as he said, it would come back to you on the subconscious plane, that there are 7 chakra centers, and I'm sure many of you have studied that, but there are 5 exterior chakra centers. 7 and 5 make what? That is the last vestige that we have now on the subliminal plane of when we were able to master all 12 degrees of those consciousnesses, because an alien form came here, smashed our 12 RNA DNA patterns, set up a double helix, and left us functioning with 2. From a system with people who could take 12, and if any of you are geneticists or understand anything about RNA and DNA valences, and so if you have 12 strands of DNA and now we only have 2, and one of those has a helix that isn't operating, this would simply mean like this. You had a computer that had endless programs and a coaxial cable with endless power. You could put as many programs into that computer as you had time to spend studying your computer. And then somebody came, and outside of 3,000 programs, left you with 2. Do you think you would have lost something? That is what the black man feels when he cries out and can no longer do the things that inwardly he knows he's supposed to be able to do. He misses his 10 other DNA strands. He doesn't even have the master programs to access the file anymore because the helixes are broken. Now, the key to restoration of the 12 strands is in the Kabbalah. Why? Because that symbol represents a double melatonin molecule. Just that simple. Look it up. With, as the brother just talked about, again, before I came, Reverend Valentine, with the new vibrations, the new electromagnetic energies coming in now past our sun, which used to filter them out, but now is allowing them to come directly to us, with this new radiation, with these new gamma rays coming in, this is agitating the membranes and causing what they call now garbage DNA. How many have ever heard that term? They even teach it in some of these stupid schools, garbage DNA. Huh? Okay. There is no such thing as garbage DNA. That is the fractured thing that an intelligence that took over this planet caused to happen to its spiritual people, so they had to learn a lesson. This garbage DNA are now entwining, vibrating, and that's why you're out here tonight in spite of the ice and snow. And the person that asked me on the air about UFOs, I didn't even mention the subject, let me know that you were ready. And therefore, I'm going to take the chance and tell you some truths that most of you are still researching. I'll save you some time in hopes that we can get on with the job that is needed. When these garbage DNAs now become the restored 10, the 12 lost tribes, the 12 lost strands, and come together once more, they can create the 13th anomaly, the 13th planet that blew itself off, causing all of our problems in this solar system in the first place, and whose denizens have now reincarnated here, giving us the hell we're catching. When these strands now, with the new sun energies that were not present before, so you couldn't do it, if you can do, as your brother said, and as inwardly all of you have felt, and I'll read you, I'll give you a reading now, each of you know that this year, and in fact it probably started with some of you 5 years ago, you're supposed to change the way you did things. Some of you have. Some of you have slipped and you've chastised. But you know there's a better way and you should be following it. Some of you have fought like mad to get active in politics and you've tried, but you know no longer is it really valid and there's a better way and I've got to spend some time with that too. Some of you have dropped out of some of your churches, not because you didn't love the choir, not because you didn't love the fine clothes, not because you didn't like the people, but the soul food was missing. It was not cooked right. Now, once you get the good soul food, the old soul food goes away, and you start searching for a different cook. Well, we are the cooks. We must prepare our own food. Therefore, nobody can take anything away from thou and thee that present and prepares your own table. No longer will they be able to take away a church or a leader. You will become the church and the leader. You always were, you just didn't know it. Now you must awaken to that concept. And for those of you, be they mother, father, sister, brother, husband, or wife, who cannot take that stand with you, do not denounce them, but do not wait for them. The planet needs you now. Two in the field. One chosen, one called, it's happening. How do you make contact? You want to, with all your heart and all your soul. And then you get the right contact. Other than that, you might get what they call an abduction, like many of the United States government people are abducting people and blaming it on aliens because they do have spacecraft now, and the time for the showdown is at hand. If you do not cloak yourself in truth, if you do not have a core that cannot be shaken under the worst oppression, where fear enters in and causes you to lose your electromagnetic field, you will suffer physical harm. If you can become so resolute and so believed in your Creator, and vibrate and do the things that at least you can do to dial the number for the Creator, you will have confidence that will grow on a minute-to-minute basis until you will feel that you can contact your Creator alone. If this gives you problems, that's okay, but you're not ready. If it doesn't, and you know inwardly that you should be able to do that because inwardly you feel that you do have the potential to be a God, and I did not say a universal prime creator, I said a God, then go for it, because now is the time.
All right. That was Dr. Delbert Blair, and that was a few years ago that lecture was, and what he's saying is like giving you the answer of what is going on now. We keep saying that these people don't look human. They acting different. This is weird. He's basically laying out what is going on, and he's giving you the answers too. What you think,
man? That was an awesome clip. I love it. Yeah, he He right up to speed, right up to date. Like he just said that yesterday. I don't know. We in Westworld, you know, Westworld, man. Full on. They've been putting robots in our face for years. Man, this is nothing new. I remember Brother Derek out of Chicago hit me to that. He said, "E, remember that show Get Smart? Agent 99, he said, man, just think about that. They was putting us on Get Smart stuff back then. He had a shoe phone.
Yeah.
You know, he had a remote control, a helicopter that he can control from his belt buckle. He had a drone. You know what I'm saying? He had all kinds of little devices. So, yeah, they've been having smart devices for years.
Yeah, you're right about
that. Absolutely, yeah.
And
portals.
I saw a movie.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I saw a movie that was back in the 50s that they had, not 50s or 40s or something this movie was. And these big executives, they all was moving into this small town, and they would turn their wives into robots, you know, and the wives, you know, they was regular. Some of them was argumentative. Some of them was opinionated. I mean, they was being human, whichever species.
Stepford
and
wives.
Then when they went in, yeah, remember that? Did you look at that? And that seemed like what's going on here. But we have a mixture of that and aliens and humans and mankind. It's like a bunch of people here, a bunch of entities here.
Y'all got to peep that Dr. Sleep. Dr. Sleep is a real, that is a deep occult movie about this little melanated sister, boy, this little young black girl, man. She got the shine.
Mm-hmm.
She got that shine that Captain Carruthers had with the little boy in The Shining. She got it. And, man, boy, they after her in the astral realm. They remote viewing trying to find her. So, man, this stuff is not a joke, man. They putting it in our face, the wars. And then you go to Dan Winter, you listen to him talk about how they still do it, the same stuff. They still be looking for little children that can astral travel. That's what they be after. They be after them specifically.
So
yeah,
maybe
so guard, your, guard, y'all guard child. Your child, man.
Yeah
y'all guard y'all children, man. It's not a joke.
I think that was the main key to Poltergeist, too, because, you know, when that entity came, that's basically who he came for, because that's the person that he attacked. Remember, and he pulled her into TV because the parents wouldn't let her get her any other way. You remember Poltergeist?
Yep, I remember Poltergeist.
Eight people died from that movie. Eight. And the director is James Gunn, the same one who made Maze Runner. You know, he was involved with the movie Slight. He's involved with a lot of these occult movies. And guess who his assistant is? His assistant is Vanna White from Wheel of Fortune.
You can't be serious. Sweet Molly Purebred Vanna with the smile. All she got is teeth and a skirt. You serious?
I'll tell you, her and Pat Sajak, man, they rolling away, man. They be rolling, man. You think they spinning that wheel, that get out, man. They got that get out on, man. Guess who's coming to dinner? That stuff is for real, man. Guess who's coming to dinner? They got
What's the
hypnotism for you, boy.
What was the name of that? Remember back in the day, Crest Toothpaste? Procter & Gamble. Remember what their logo used to be?
What was it?
A witch on a broom by the moon and stars.
Wow.
Procter & Gamble.
Man.
Yeah, you know, Crest Toothpaste. I forgot all the other products. They made a lot of different products.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah,
man.
A lot of them have hidden messages. Yeah. Well, see. I mean, we here. We in it now. People can see it now. They had it hidden before. It's in plain sight now. Not hidden.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember the movie They Live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Rowdy,
man, I
Roddy Piper.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, man. They found them glasses in the box. And when they put the glasses on, they can actually see the real parasites that was... Yeah, the parasites that, you know, it's like putting on a microphone. What is that? You put your thing through a microscope and you're able to see it up close. And they was able to see these little wormy little germ people, you know, these little alien peoples, man. The main place they was running was the news station, the TV station. That was their main place. That's where they had the main signal. That's where they had the satellite.
Propaganda. Mm-hmm. Propaganda.
At the TV station. Yeah. So, you know, it's
just
the same
like today.
Stuff. It's the same story.
Just like today.
Yeah, it's the same. It ain't never changed, man. And then, man, y'all think all these plant-based green foods and all that, man, y'all better watch the movie Idiocracy. Idiocracy, man. There's hardly any real food left, man. You know, they giving us, ain't no telling what you eating, man. They trying to get everybody on that can of, they trying to get everybody
cannibal.
On that cannibal. Everybody on the cannibal, not cannibal Adderley either.
Word.
Ain't no jazz in what they giving us. Yeah, man, I'm telling you, man, it's for real, man. All that green stuff, leave that stuff alone, man. All that plant-based stuff, plant-based meat. Forget about it.
Mm-hmm. And I think we did, Dr. X, I think we talked about that. And they're not talking about plants like the flowers. They're talking about like plant, like the car company, you know, the factory.
That's the kind of plant
they're talking about. Yeah, mm-hmm. They're making them, you know, it's artificial. They're making them in a plant. You know, so they trickery. Look how they're using the words. Two words, same word, mean different things.
If you watch the movie, The Kingsman Part 2, Part 1 is devastating. Mm-hmm. The Kingsman slap you all upside the head, man, to just show you what's really going on. But Kingsman Part 2, they show you the lady working at the bar late at night, close the bar, pull out the meat grinder, put the body in the meat grinder, it come out looking just like ground beef or turkey that you buy in your store today. Putting a dead body in there, grinding it up. They put it right in our face.
I heard McDonald's do that. Ain't no telling what you eat in those fast food restaurants.
There's a video on YouTube. There's a video on YouTube. It's called Jewish Shekels. There's a rabbi, Abby Finkelstein. He talks about all the things that the Khazarians have control over. And he even speaks on that. And the logo that he has on YouTube, I don't know if it's still up, but I've seen it about 4 years ago. The logo is the golden arches. And he says that there's people in the burgers, and he talks about the music industry, all the things that they have control over and why they're doing these things to corrupt society. You know, it's like you're saying, Bev, they put it right in front of our faces, but, you know, most people will say, nah, the people of society or the government wouldn't stand for that, blah, 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 but... but if anybody was on, when did Rob play that the video from all of those military people? Remember they were talking about how the country's been taken over?
Yeah. Not the last show, but the show before that.
Right. There was a white guy, you could tell his white by his voice, he said. The day that your cell phone does not work, you better strap up. Shoot.
And they talking about going into 10 days of darkness. It's supposed to be happening sometime this month. They've been talking about that. Let me add Kwame to the NOM table. Kwame, your line is open. 706-202, are you there? Oh, okay.
I got back in.
And I had to step away.
Got to pump.
Huh? We didn't hear you. We can't hear you, Kwame. Okay, I was looking for this.
Can you hear me?
Now we can. Now we can.
Yeah, I step outside to pick up the antenna. That's what I love about being down in the woods. I ain't on the main grid. But what Delbert was sharing was very important, that he was talking about that connection with the sun's radiation and activating the other 10 strands. Well, really it's the other 6 strands, because we've been activated for a while now, that these strands have come back to life in us. And this is the part of the medicine, is because the thing is that we have to rewire the DNA strands back to our neural net in order for us to be able to activate ourselves back to the God self. And so it's important that we look at how we use this, because the plant medicines in our brain, we have the reptilian brain, then we have another part, and then we have the frontal lobe. And what's happening is that all of this was once wired in, and that 33,000 strands of junk DNA, that's the dormant. That's the other 6. The 33 is the 6. And so what we're looking at is how do we reactivate that. But what they're doing with causing the distortion and putting in artificial frequencies is to be able to try to artificially assimilate us into thinking that we're activating this, but that's really their power source. We've got to go back to the divine power source. And this is what the medicines are here for, in being able to reroute us, because every plant that we participate in the plant medicine, is rooted with the activation of the enzymes and the things that comes from the earth and its seeds. Because even when I went on One Aya and I became the seed and began to watch the seed as it burst in the earth, and in that darkness, it began to push its way up and began to grow. And then once it broke the soil, and it began to send that stem up through the soil and began to grow, all of that energy that it took, that it absorbed in through the earth, was being transmitted into this body. And these are the things that he was speaking to, and that we have this energy, and then what's coming from where we are in the galaxy, crossing the galactic center, and now at the beginning of the new 26,000-year journey, it's where we're getting the energy of the alignment from all of that's on this side of the galaxy, where we are now with our solar system and the sun that's in the center of the Milky Way. So it's kind of like we're getting the breast milk of the galaxy that's feeding us on this planet.
Okay. All righty. Well,
so that's what those
things
are.
Y'all know mushrooms like to grow near pine tree. Mushrooms like to grow near pine tree that after it rains, especially after lightning.
What are you saying when you say that?
What am I saying? I don't know.
Pine. What does a pine have? What is the seed of a pine? Pine cone. What is
pine
the thing
cone
in the human brain that looks like a pine cone?
Pineal.
Pioneer.
Thank you.
Yeah.
There you go. We got to connect the dot. We got to connect it. hind has what? Needles. What are they doing now with us shooting with needles? But you can take the pine needles and make tea. You can make medicine from the pine needles. And they always are what? They're called an evergreen. They stay green always.
Yeah.
On the tree. And the thing of it is, the chakras, what is the heart? It's the green chakra, the evergreen. It stays evergreen. This is why when you have homegoings for Masonic homegoings, they always put pine needles, branches onto the coffin, and they wear the pine as a symbol for evergreen, for ever love.
And look at Christmas. We use the Christmas tree. That's the pine tree.
Right.
Most of the Christmas trees. Yeah.
Can I add something to that?
You have a Yes.
Like what we're speaking to, when now you add the mushroom to that, that grows that near the base of that tree. In symbology, that red and white mushroom is the Santa Claus suit. Saint. It makes you saintly because it takes you in and up. And the cartoon that they play for us around the holidays, the reindeers that flew is because the reindeer loves that red and white mushroom. Just like Rudolph's nose,
right.
That's what gave them flight. Going back to the power of the medicines.
Right, but you also hit on, because when you're saying much room, when you take it, it creates the room inside of you to go into the other compartments of your own mind and spirit. And so all of it is really the community that we first see when we were indigenous people. We saw the forest as a community, because in the forest you have grandmother trees, you have grandfather trees, you have mother and father trees, and you have the saplings. And by each tree, there are certain plants, like you just said, the mushroom, these certain mushrooms will grow by a pine tree. These certain mushrooms will go by an oak tree. Each plant knows who it works with in its community, just like it knows that if you got an oak tree and it's got poison oak in it, there's a tree that's growing, or there's a plant, which is milkweed, which is the antidote for that. Because what I think Brother X was talking about, the serum, I mean the venom, and the poison has always got to have an antidote. And the antidote is most likely that which bit you. If a snake bites you, they take the snake's venom to make the antidote for the bite, because the elders always told us when an insect bites you, he's putting medicine into you. And so in that biting, that's the medicine that's being put in your body in order for you to have an antidote. It's just like if you have allergies and you're living in a certain area, you find the beekeeper and buy his honey, because the pollen that the bees make the honey with is the antidote for the area that you live in.
Yeah, I heard that too. I heard that if it's poison ivy, it's always a tree or a branch next to it that has the antidote. So that's what all of nature is. Mm-hmm.
Right. Nature always has its balance. So if there's a poison, there's an antidote. And if there is food, the thing that, you know, we did in survival training before we went to Nam, and they told us, they says, okay, you see a monkey out here and you don't have anything to eat, what are you going to do? First thing that most of the people in the class would say, I'm going to kill that monkey and I'm going to eat that monkey. You know, they says, no, you follow the monkey, because you can eat just about the same thing the monkey can eat. You'll stay alive.
Mm.
But if you kill that monkey, kill yourself.
Wow.
And good and evil lay side by side always. That's an old adage also. So just like what you were saying, Bev.
Well, you take it was really live and evil. complementary because it's the same word. How you live.
Yeah, it is.
And if you live wrong, you turn the word backwards that you make your own evil because we are our own devils. It's according on how we lived our life. If you raise all kind of ATLL, then you are the devil because you created the fire in your life.
And evil is energy vibration is low.
Yeah, the lowest vibration is shame and fear. And those are the two powers that run evil.
And so and that's what's running now. You know, we got
right, fear.
A part that's one to, yeah, and so that's the low level. So all you have to do is use your high level energy.
Right. And that's
the balance
what,
thing,
you know, Brother West always say, using thought, because a man thinketh. So if you think in low vibrations, then you're going to create low vibrations because you emit energy. That's why you're trained to work in time, is because it's them tying you from you emitting your energy. That's why they train you or they educate you, is they put in you but won't bring out what's in you. Well, what they put in you is to see what's in you. But then the part of it is that they don't want that coming out unless they're controlling it. That's why they put you on a JOB and create for them how we invent what's in us, because we birth civilization.
And I just want to tell the people that's on the internet that we go into the telephone because I want to play this last video of Kalente when he's talking about sorcerers. And the phone number is 323-642-1586. So we're going to go a little bit over so we can hear this. When he say we need sorcerers. What is a sorcerer? Anybody know?
The word says it's sourcing power that is used by the person that has learned how to manipulate energy. You can be a good sorcerer or you can be a bad sorcerer. It's the way in which you source energy to use for what you're wanting to do.
Good. Okay, well, I thank everybody for being on the mound table tonight, and we're going to leave out with Kalente, and he's saying we need more sorcerers. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Be back next week.
Steve Englehart and Frank Brunner in 1974 were in an apartment sitting around dropping acid, eating mushrooms, trying to make their deadline for the reemergence of a Marvel comic book character. He was on the C-team. He wasn't Captain America or Iron Man or Thor or anything like that. His name was Dr. Strange, Dr. Stephen Strange. And they reimagined Dr. Strange into the Marvel Universe by starting the whole thing over again. And those 74, 75, 76 comics were all entheogenic. And we're coming up just next year with the Marvel's rendition into cinema, Dr. Strange. And what I look at when I look at the entheogenic community is that ayahuasca may be medicine, MDMA or Iboga or Hawaiian baby rosewood, whatever, but mushrooms have always been special to me. I don't see them as medicine. They can be used as medicine because you can use anything for medicine. You can use water. Water is medicine, but you don't call water medicine. You say, well, let me get a glass of medicine. Psilocybin is a tool in its first and foremost principle as a tool of exploration. And I think what we need in this community is more Dr. Strangers. We need more sorcerers. We need more magicians. You know, this is the land of Hogwarts, you know. You should be grabbing them mushrooms in October and, you know, going off to school. Because the way I've envisioned this is that, as Moodoo talked about earlier, yeah, I'm scared to talk after you. You were on point there. The vision that I've been looking at is that we need more people not to take psilocybin for early childhood trauma, for sexual trauma, for some type of psychological problem, but as a tool of exploration, to explore the multiverse, to go deep, to go hard, to go full blast into the novel states of consciousness that we look at. People, you know, a few years back when I had to talk about high dose psilocybin in the 20 to 30 gram range, people looked at me like I was extreme, you know. But I'm not the only person that does that. You see some other folks here, they taking 20 grams of psilocybin, dry grams. Now it's becoming, how do I get so much down? That's the difficulty. So dealing with Azarensis and the Pantheons and others to get a higher dose of the constituents inside of the body, to be able to explore, to be able to look into the darkness and say, hey, I'm not looking for the light in the darkness. I'm looking for my eyes to adjust to the darkness so I can go deeper into the darkness. I know and understand that this is not just a feel-good, friendly, bubbles and fairies type of thing. It's also hard work. It's deep work. It's the places that you don't want to face inside of yourself and inside of the multiverse. So we need more Dr. Strangers. We need those folks who are going to go out and encounter the entities that are in these places and spaces, because they are there. And they're not all likable and lovable and, you know, the swirling divas of Hindu pantheons. There is the Mahabharata there also, where there's war, where there's malevolence, where there's horror, where there's fear, and all of those things are there. And we've still pushed forward and moved forward because it's something that we have to do to become something more. And I think that's what entheogens do for us. It is something to make us more than what we are as being human beings. I think it ushered us into the human and will eventually usher us into the transhumanistic realms and then ultimately into something that is unimaginable. Ray Kurzweil and them, when they're talking about the technological portion of this, they're talking about the technological singularity. They're talking about merging with AI, downloading consciousness into supercomputers. But we already have the supercomputer. We already have the hardware. We already have the software in the entheogens that nature provided us from the beginning, when we were walking on the Sahara, you know, came from outer space. But outer space is nothing out there. It's all inside. When we look at Alpha Centauri and Vega and Orion and Sirius, they're not out there. They're inside. So when we look out, we're only looking at a reflection of what's inside of us. So these things came through the multiverse to be able to pair with us, for us to be able to merge with them, and they deliver their information to us, because the models that we built in the world are only models that we are taking from ourselves. So software, downloading, uploading, you know, improving hardware, putting in the new chip, erasing the whole hard drive, all those things are part of what happens inside of us. And it's in our community, it's in the literature, it's in the lectures. We just have to start embracing it. The Sahara, at a place called the Sili Plateau of Anajir in Algeria, is where we have the oldest representation of mushroom use on Earth. Now, I know people, you know, talk about South America and things like that, but even if we talk about Pangaea, at one point in time, South America and Africa were butted together. They melded together. So the same plants that you have in South America, you have the same plants in Africa. They just never went to Africa and asked Africans. They went to South America and asked the South Americans, but they went to Africa and asked Africans. Because Africa's the dark continent, you know, Tarzan's there with Jane and the rest of them. And the thing about Africa is that Africa, when they say something secret, it's still secret. Not secret if you got $1,800. It's still secret. Because those oaths are taken. Those type of things are adhered to, you know. And when I was talking about Marvel Comics, because Marvel Comics is driven through entheogens and LSD and mushrooms and things like that. All the same two guys that were hooking up Dr. Strange by sitting in an apartment in New York, dropping acid and eating mushrooms, are the same ones who created Guardians of the Galaxy and the Infinity Stone. And the whole new Marvel universe that's going to be put out in the movies, and it's coming out in the movies, in Avengers 3 and Doctor Strange and the Black Panther, all of those movies are a reflection of the entheogenic usage of those 60s guys who came back from Vietnam and were utilizing entheogens, and they moved past the old guard of Marvel, which were Steve Ditko and Stan Lee and those older guys who had brought it up to a certain level. The Black Panther's coming out in 2016 also. It's going to talk about Wakanda and the high-level civilization of Africa that is not a fantasy. They didn't just make these things up. Jack Kirby, who was really the brains behind Marvel Comics, not Stan Lee. Stan Lee was the executive. Jack Kirby, who created the Black Panther in 1966, during the Black uprisings in the United States and here in the UK and other places around the world, brought the first black superhero to Marvel Comics. And he talked about Wakanda, which was a mythical place, but Wakanda is not a mythical place and is not a mythical people. And the Black Panther is not a mythical comic book character. You have the Black Panther Society in Africa, which eats the Amanita pantherina mushroom to get the powers of the Black Panther. They use the Black Panther mushroom for the powers of the Black Panther. But they use the same mushroom in Japan, and that mushroom delivered what was called ninjutsu, or the dark Japanese martial arts. Ninjutsu came out of a mushroom, a psychedelic mushroom. As a matter of fact, for those that don't know, I'm a martial artist. That's what I do as my work. I teach martial arts, ancient and traditional and contemporary African fighting sciences. And all of the martial arts that you see have entheogens that go along with them. How you think, you know, the kung fu guys, you know, they're standing on a blade of grass or jumping to the top of the tree and, you know, 1,000 arrows come and they just knock them out of the way. That's all entheogenic use. Because they would have battles where they never engaged physically. They took the entheogen, stood back, and they battled entheogenically between the two warriors. So nobody was killed, but you found out who had the best skill and the most skill. These type of things went on. They were common. You know, we had masquerade warfare. Where you see the masquerades in Africa, you may see a bunch of raffia or somebody on stilts and things like that. They did battle the same way. This was all part of the sensibility of the entheogenic use in ancient times, in the ancient world, that is reemerging now. We're only at the beginning. People always say that the 60s was a failure. Oh, the hippies are gone and the 60s was a failure. They got rid of it. No, that was just the beginning. It's a baby now, just learning to walk. This conference is just standing up on your feet, waddling and toddling. But when the next generation gets into this, because they're already there anyway, they don't want your schooling, they don't want your knowledge, they don't want your information. They want to go into the multiverse and bring back a new human being, as Moody was talking about earlier, a new archetype, a new paradigm. Because being a human being, you can't do nothing. You know, what, you're going to work 10 hours a day for 60 years to sit down and die? That's a great life. Or are you going to stand when you want to come to this conference that you don't have to get on a plane and fly 5 hours to Dublin, stay in Dublin for 15 hours sitting in a chair, then come to the Breaking Convention conference running down the hallway to get here? No, you want to come to Breaking Convention, just go ding-a-ding-a-ding, and boop. You know, we okay, I'm ready to give my lecture. You know, or we do the conference like this. We all Friday night at 11 o'clock. Take 30 dry grams of psilocybin mushrooms. We lie down in the dark. And we all meet up in a place in the hyperdimensional realms and have the conference there. And the conference can, you know, we have great food, great times, you know. You don't have to worry about sitting in a chair. You can just be floating in the lotus posture, you know. This is what, this is my vision. Beyond the human being, beyond what we are now. So when we first encountered these mushrooms on the Sahara and ate them and said, oh man, this is something different, you know. Now let's make some more sophisticated tools. Let's, you know, let's make a wheel. You know, I've been envisioning this building. It's, you know, it's wide as a basin. It goes to a point. What are we going to do with it? I don't know, but let's make it. But most folks don't know that the Merkut, or what do we call the pyramid, is a time machine and a teleportation device. That, you know, for teleporting to different spots. Well, that's another lecture.
I'm going to hang up this phone. And then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.